Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, everyone. And hi, sweetheart.
Hi, honey.
How you doing?
I'm really good. How about you?
I'm so happy to hear that. You know, I think I'm pretty good, too. I started my day off wrong. We'll get there. We'll talk about that. But I feel like I'm doing much better now.
I'm so glad.
So often, just knowing is half the battle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, being able to put my finger on it and go, you know what? That thing I did was wrong. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And I can let go of it.
Yeah.
And learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, 47 years old, slowly learning basic life skills.
Yeah. It's talk about this more a little bit later, right?
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. So later in this episode, we're going to talk about strategies for keeping hold on one's sanity in this fraught time we're all living through.
Goodness. Primary elections, coronavirus.
A lot going on.
Yeah. So that's going to be good.
Yeah, looking absolutely. Forward to that. Same here. I'd like to welcome our new listeners, and I'd like to thank our new supporters. We had a single new supporter this week.
Wow.
Again, it's that whole thing where we have, you know, 0, 1, or 2 new supporters each week. Some weeks it's 0, some weeks it's 1. Some weeks is 2.
Thank you.
You know, it's just a little trickle of support, but we appreciate each and every one of you. If you're listening to this and you're like, what is he talking about? Well, first of all, you must be a new listener because we talk about it every episode. So, hey, welcome to you. But here's the deal. This is a listener-supported podcast. So if you like me, you like Shannon but not me, I don't know. You like what we're doing in the world, you like the podcast. You hate the podcast, but you listen to it out of spite, and you like what we're doing in the world. There's no wrong way, really, to come at this.
There's many combinations of possibilities here.
Point being, if you hook into what we're doing in any of the ways I just described, please consider using this podcast as a vehicle for just supporting what Shannon and I are doing. It's basically a recurring monthly subscription, and it gives us a little bit of something that we don't have anything of in our lives, which is stable income.
What?
I know.
What's that?
Seriously.
I'm a working artist.
Seriously.
I don't understand the words stable and income in the same sentence.
I haven't gotten more than one check from the same person in 15 years.
But really, it does make a big difference to have your support in an ongoing kind of way.
Yep.
And if this is valuable to you, if what we're doing makes sense to you and you want to support it in the world, thank you for becoming a supporter. You go to misfitstars.com/join, and that'll whoosh you to the page where you get to decide which support level you want to come in at. It starts at $5 a month. We have some swaggy thank you gifts for people.
Yep.
I made up the word swaggy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. We have some thank you gifts at each level. You can peruse those as well.
Want to make the point that the gifts aren't the point.
Yeah.
Everyone basically gets the same thing, which is you get to be a part of what we're doing with our lives. And you also get access to our private Facebook group, which is an amazing place where we're having just some really intentional conversations.
It's so great.
It's not a hellhole like the rest of Facebook can be. We'll get there.
And also, those of you who are in that Facebook group, our member listeners right now, thank you so much for your contributions there. It's so wonderful to see you posting stuff that is interesting to you in your lives, things that you're thinking about, and to watch you interacting with one another. I just absolutely love it.
That's
more
great
of that. Thank you.
It's positive. It's uplifting.
It's great.
It's a little bit of respite every time I go in there. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, anyone who supports a podcast, that's the deal. You become part of this community. It's an abstract thing in some ways, and in some ways it's a very explicit, you get to be part of this private, you know, sub-community that we have going, and that's really nifty. Mm-hmm. And the thank you gifts are really just that. They're just little ways for us to say thank you. And that's it. And also to encourage you, you know, if you are already a subscriber, for example, and you have been sitting there at $5 a month for a while, and you realize that now the t-shirt, the Misfit Stars exclusive t-shirt, is for everybody who does $10 a month or above, and you're sitting there thinking, well, I could just upgrade. Yeah, you can. And indeed, we call that leveling up. If you want to do that, just go to misfitstars.com/level up. And you, if you want to, if you feel like you have the room in your budget to move from $5 a month, say to $10 a month, if you wouldn't miss it, you'd like us to have it, great, we'd like that too. We'll send you a t-shirt as a way of saying thanks.
Awesome.
So,
and another way you can be helpful, besides becoming a subscribing member, is if you like this podcast, go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review.
Yeah.
Give it a 5-star review. Rating.
Give it a 6-star review.
And it would be helpful because it would get this podcast in front of other people's eyes who might enjoy it, and that would be cool. So thank you.
Yep, so much.
Yeah.
So what did we do this week?
Oh my gosh, it's been a week.
It was one of those weeks that felt really, really busy, but when we went to make the list of what it was like,
I know what you mean. But like, it's also because a lot of the stuff that we have been doing is the kind of work that is slow
yeah.
and just requires time. And yep. that's okay. Like, I've been continuing to write my record.
It's so good, everybody. Shanna's kicking butt. Shanna has been just, she keeps bringing me songs. She brought me a new couple songs the other day. They were both fantastic. Like, she's just on fire this season.
I'm so glad you think so.
Oh, I love it. I think it's really good.
I'm enjoying the process a lot. I mean, I always do, but yeah. this has been really particularly fun for me this year. I'm not exactly sure why, but yeah, I mean, I think I have like 6 songs and some interstitial stuff composed for the record, and I'm on fire.
It's going amazing. Good. Yeah, I think it's going really good.
Yeah.
What else? I got an album mixing gig this week.
With some really cool music. I'm really excited about it.
And so if you're listening and you're like, what does that mean? Yeah. So there are different things that I do in my work. You know, I produce records. That's where you're kind of in charge of the whole process from, you know, maybe demos all the way through the final versions of the songs. And sometimes I just mix albums for people because I'm technically specialized in that way. And what that means is that sometimes someone else will have recorded and produced a song or a EP or a body of work of some sort. Mm-hmm. And they'll want all the levels to be balanced out in a way that's particularly good sounding. That's something I can do. And so this person approached me a couple weeks ago from, by the way, a record that I made 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And he reached out to say, hey, I loved your work on that record. I am now making a record of my own. And would you consider mixing? I was like, absolutely. He sent me some of the material. It's ambient pedal steel music.
It's so cool.
But there's like soothing drum texture, like electronic drum textures for some of it. So some of it almost sounds like down tempo or trip hop.
Uh-huh.
But the music on top is just this washy, really ambient, gorgeous stuff, largely made with pedal steel and treated pedal steel, mm-hmm. which is to say he'll like put different things on his pedal steel and like, so he'll hit it and it'll sound like a drum or a percussion thing mm-hmm. or something. It's really mm-hmm. cool.
It's exactly the kind of music that you and I listen to like when we're going to sleep at night.
Yes.
We put on ambient records a lot.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of music also that like if you like are doing yoga, it would be great yeah. for that. You know,
yes.
it just takes your mind into a different place. You know, there's no lyrics. It's all instrumental.
Yep.
But it's just so artfully done in a way that really just allows you to have an experience with the music. And I'm excited to get to hear you working on the mixes here because it's just really beautiful.
And you know, we'll touch on this later too, but it's felt therapeutic for me.
Hey, that's
it's
great.
A real escape.
That's awesome.
Especially like working on music of any type is therapeutic for me, but especially this stuff is so meditative, mm-hmm. almost puts me in a trance-like state when mm-hmm. I'm working. And that's really a great way for me to judge whether I'm doing well mm-hmm. working on this style of music. Mm-hmm. Like if it takes me to a place where I'm not thinking about it anymore, I'm just getting lost in it.
Mm-hmm. That's
like
great.
That's great.
That's really
I found
really
myself
helpful.
Just like realizing I'm staring off like and my eyes have lost focus and I'm not looking at anything. And
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
The way this works typically with this kind of thing is that like I'll do a first song to see if it's a good fit, and if it's a good fit then I'll get the rest of the record. And that happened a couple days
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, so
I
good.
Got an email back from the artist saying, love the first mix, I want you to do the whole record.
Awesome.
And I was like, hell yeah,
so good.
So that's cool.
So good.
I made a new roof for our bird feeder.
That was a big item on our to-do list this week. Yes. So, I mean, context. When we moved into this house, there was this cute little wooden bird feeder yep. hanging off of a tree branch right outside the window that is Jamie's studio, one of his studio windows.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so picturesque and perfect and beautiful. And actually, when we first moved in, the roof of that birdhouse was covered in all kinds of different mosses.
It had been unused, so undisturbed.
Yeah, and it was gorgeous. Yeah. It was so pretty. Like the first time that snow fell on it, it was just this perfect little like fairyland.
It looked like a fairy house.
Yeah, and then you know we started putting birdseed in it, and the birds loved it.
Yep.
And then eventually the squirrels discovered it.
Yeah.
But the way the squirrels would do it is they would like climb on the roof with their claws mm-hmm. and like hang over the side and munch, 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 munch.
They
like
dig their little claws into the top of the roof, hanging over the side.
Right. So they destroyed all the moss, yeah. which was so sad for me, but whatever.
And then they destroyed the roof.
And then they destroyed the roof. Yeah.
And it was just starting to look dilapidated and it was taking on water and like the seeds were all getting wet. And so we went to the hardware store and we got a piece of copper surfaced aluminum.
Uh-huh.
And long story short, made a copper roof for the little birdhouse. And it's
yep.
with brass screws and washers in a really sort of very organized decorative layout to attach the roof to the surface of the house.
It looks so cute.
It's really, really cute. It's like lightly modern and industrial.
Yeah, it is.
It's very cool.
Industrial.
And
birdhouse.
I really feel, too, like it's going to be like a 100-year roof.
Incidentally, we had someone else come out and look at our actual roof.
Yeah.
the other day to see what our plan for that is going to be. And yeah, like, this... We could, if we could do this to our actual roof, it would be great.
Gotta send a picture of this to our roof or be like, could you do this?
Yeah, but so far, I feel like the squirrels, they can still kind of, they were really trying hard to problem solve yesterday morning when we first saw them.
Cute.
They were clearly very mad and a little frustrated. But
there was lots of angry tail wagging.
Yeah, but they're learning, and learning is hard. Mm-hmm. Growth is difficult. Mm-hmm. So we were watching the squirrels work through their emotions.
Yep.
Do squirrels have emotions?
Yeah, of course they do.
Clearly they do. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't want to like personify them, but they clearly do. Yes. Yeah. So they were working through their emotions and trying to problem solve to try to get some of that sweet seed.
Yeah.
And like they can't do the hanging off like they used to.
Because
like
they used to sit there for an hour and chow a third of the contents of the feeder at one time. They can't do that anymore.
No, they can't. But they have been able to like access it enough that they can get their little face in it, but not their paws to like shovel.
Yeah.
So the bird feed, the seed is lasting longer and the birds are getting some and it's really like everybody's a little bit happier.
And also what I've done in this process is I immediately went out and started throwing handfuls of sunflower seeds down on the ground and also some extra seed as well. And we saw that yesterday, like the squirrels would try to get on the thing and eat, and they couldn't do it in the way they wanted, and they were feeling frustrated, and then they would go down to the ground and eat on the ground.
Yes.
And hopefully, like, they're just retraining burning new neural pathways.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Neural rhymes with squirrel. Just thought I'd point that out.
Yeah, it's a near rhyme. It's a near rhyme.
Yeah.
Good job.
You could use that in songwriting.
I could use, no.
You got a few more songs to write for this record.
I probably won't use the word squirrel in a record.
Shame. Total shame. What else?
The other thing that we did this week, which was, it felt momentous to me, was we went out and we volunteered to knock doors for the Elizabeth Warren campaign.
Yep.
Meaning that we signed up online for a door knocking shift. We went and reported to like the house where sort of like the hub of the organizer was doing her work.
Yep.
There's a person who's working in Tacoma for the campaign, and she kind of organizes all the volunteers, and you go and you meet with her and you get like a little training on how on what to say and who the people are you're going to be talking to, and then you take your little script out and the little mobile app and you go hit a neighborhood that they give you to hit. And it happened to be like in our neighborhood,
in
actually.
Our zip code.
So that was really cool. And by the way, when we go and we knock doors, we're there representing the campaign and hopefully encouraging voters to also vote for Elizabeth Warren in the primary here in Washington on March 10th. But we're not there to like have arguments with people. We're not there to like, you know, get into lots of details. It's mostly just an encouragement, you know, and a reminder of people to vote. And I don't know, signing up for this, I knew it was important to do. Like, I believe in this candidate, I believe in this cause, and it felt really important for me to follow through with my actual body.
Yeah.
And, like, put myself on the line to do this thing. So I signed up, but I was nervous about it. Like, and I've knocked doors before.
Me too.
I've done this before.
Yeah.
But I still felt nervous about it. And so it felt momentous to actually do it. Like, it felt like, yes, okay, I conquered those nerves, and I went out and I did something. Mm-hmm. I did something active for something I believe in, and that felt really great. Mm-hmm. And it went really well too. And you joined me.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. And I had the same experience as you. Like, I felt a little bit nervous, just abstractly, not of anything in particular, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've done it before, and it really felt like getting back on a bike. After the first door, it was like, oh yeah, it's no big deal.
Totally.
And, you know, it makes a difference canvassing where you live also.
Yeah.
Like, our previous experiences had been canvassing places where we weren't necessarily someone's neighbor, you know?
Yeah, well, when we canvassed in 2018, that was the case.
Yeah.
The first time that you and I ever canvassed together was in 2008 for Barack Obama.
Yep.
And we did do that in our neighborhood where we were living at that time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although it was several blocks away in a huge city, and like,
that's
we
true.
Were kind of more in Mid-Wilshire or Miracle Mile, and the other people were more in Mid-Wilshire, like, or the Olympic neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was adjacent, but not the same. And in a city like that, is anyone really neighbors? You know what I mean?
That's true. It felt different.
Knock on someone's door in central Los Angeles, like, I'm your neighbor. They're like, F you, man. Who cares?
You're right. It felt different this time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, after the day, I made a post on Facebook about it, and one of our stars, Scott, had a really insightful question. He asked specifically, how did it go today? Tell us one thing that was challenging, one thing that was exciting, and one thing that was surprising from today. I was like, oh, what a great way to like organize my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the thing that was challenging was honestly just working up the courage to go do it.
Yeah.
Like, because my imagination really gets the better of me with like made up what ifs about what could go terribly wrong in situations like that. And it turns out that like just getting the courage to overcome that was the most challenging part of it.
Yeah.
Just showing up.
Second most challenging, your little hands got cold.
My hands did get cold. That's true. My fingertips. And my nose was running the whole time. But yeah. The thing that was most exciting for me was being there in the hub where you go meet with the organizer and the other volunteers who are showing up.
Yeah.
Like just being around people who are also showing up to do the work is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just really, you know, if you're feeling down, like showing up someplace where other people are also showing up to do work in something that you believe in is so invigorating.
And empowering.
And it was really neat. And then at the end of the day, when we went back to like, you know, give our sort of like post door knocking report, the organizer, Emma, told us that, you know, the 50 doors that we knocked were part of 1,300 doors in total that had been knocked in Tacoma alone. And then I got
On that day.
Yeah. And then at the end of the weekend, I got an email from her saying that like somewhere close to 2,500 doors were knocked in Tacoma. And we were part of that. And it just feels great to be part of something bigger than yourself.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And then the last thing, which was probably what did you learn from this experience? You know, moment for me. The thing that was most surprising was just in the conversations themselves that we ended up having with people who answered their doors. And most people weren't home. Like we should say that. Like most of the people we just left, you know.
And that's always the way it goes.
Sticky on the door, you know. But in the conversations that we did get to have, a lot of people were still undecided.
Yep.
And in those conversations, I felt like the thing that was most effective in terms of getting them to come to our point of view was not anything that we had to say. It was in listening to what was important to them.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I mean, they knew that we were there supporting this particular candidate and we were there hoping to nudge them her way, right? But really telling people about Elizabeth Warren is not the most, like just listening to what their needs were and them attaching that feeling of being listened to people at their front door in support of this candidate.
Yeah.
I think helped move them closer in that direction.
Our organizer summed it up very succinctly. She's like, this ties into that idea that people don't remember what you said to them, but they remember how you made them feel.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really insightful.
Yeah.
And
neat application of that principle. It's a principle that you and I both knew ahead of time, but like feeling that applied to the work we were doing in that way. It's interesting, right? It's almost like just the act of showing up at someone's door and being kind to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the asking that question and the listening was part of the training that I got before we went out and door knocking too. Like it speaks to, I think, the character of the campaign that they're encouraging their volunteers to listen to people. I really appreciate that that's the ethos.
Same here.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I love
something else that was really interesting that happened to us exactly one time in our canvassing is that we knocked on a door of this guy and he came out, he stood on the porch, talked to us for like 10 minutes, super engaged. Turns out that his primary concerns, because like you said, we were asking like, what are your concerns? His primary concerns right now are not presidential primary in nature. Mm. He has a specific concern that's much more in the realm of city government. There's just a problematic business at the end of his block that's causing trouble in their little neighborhood.
Right.
Their one block radius. And we were able to subsequently connect him with a friend of ours who lives in our neighborhood who serves on the Central Tacoma Neighborhood Council.
Yeah.
And it turns out that this Thursday happens to be the one Thursday a month where they're having their meeting, this coming Thursday.
Oh, cool.
And also at this Thursday's coming meeting, this is the one where the police liaison is coming. And so this guy got connected with our friend and he's going to show up at Central Tacoma Neighborhood Council meeting and be able to talk directly to a police representative about this problematic business in his neighborhood. And that to me is just really interesting, right? The idea that all of this ties together. Like we went to his house with a certain purpose.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the reason for us being at his house was actually something completely different, but it's also completely related because it's just all around the work of like community building
and being
of service and coalition building with people and just like making this web of interdependence with our our neighbors, yeah. like just ever bigger, you know? Because like, if you think about like, who are your neighbors? Well, they're the people who live in the houses right next to you. That's the most literal interpretation.
Are the people in your neighborhood.
It's so true.
Yeah.
We often, by the way, sing that song, but with animals, like, who are the kitties in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
They're the kitties that you meet when you're walking down the street. You know what
they're
I mean?
The kitties that you meet each day.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you think about like in a more broad sense than that, like who's your neighborhood? Well, maybe it's the people like, you know, in the 5 blocks around you. But then like in a bigger sense, it's this guy 12 blocks away. In a bigger sense, it's everyone in Tacoma. In a bigger sense, and bigger and bigger and bigger, it's everyone in the entire world.
Yeah.
It's sort of that idea of circles of compassion.
Yeah.
You know, that Buddhist idea of circles of compassion.
Circles of community.
And circles of community. You can really think about it
that way.
That's
cool. Yeah. Neat. Very cool. Well, we're going to take a short break. And after the break, we're going to talk about how we're holding on to our hats.
Barely.
During this, you know, last week we had a discussion about the discomfort of uncertainty.
Yeah.
This is not unrelated, but I think that I feel like in the last week, you and I have, each of us in our own ways, like, I know I've been learning some stuff about like some specific tools that have been really helpful. And so it's kind of related to last week's episode, but kind of new and hopefully, insightful and helpful in some way. So stay tuned.
See you in a sec.
Should have been like on a game show.
I would have loved to be on a game show. It's weird though. So you and I went to a taping of The Price is Right.
No, Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Oh my gosh. How embarrassing. Some game show. I don't know game shows, right? So we went to a taping of Jeopardy. And it was really, really interesting. It was years ago. There's this guy, the announcer. I forget his name. It's probably Johnny, right? And he's also the person who warms up the crowd before and in breaks.
Yeah.
Comes and talks to you. And he was at that time that we went to see that, which is probably 8 years ago, like 92 years old.
He was old.
Really, really, really old. Like, he's been doing show business since the 40s.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
And he sounds like a showbiz guy from the 40s.
Totally.
But, like, in his personal life. Like, I think he's been doing it for so long that his, like, personal life and his work are inseparable. And so now he's just showbiz guy all of the time.
His TV voice is his perma voice.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It was wild. He would can't come over and talk to the crowd in his mellifluous baritone, regaling us with stories of show business.
Yes. Well, maybe he'll be, you know, done doing that job soon and you can take over.
It sounds like something fun to do. Also sounds real weird.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds like being trapped in Groundhog Day.
It would be an odd thing. So, we digress.
We do.
We've got a topic today for the podcast about holding on to our sanity in this time in which we're living, which, my goodness, it's wild.
It's fraught.
It's just a wild time. I mean, like, it's hard. I mean, even like you and I are really into like the Democratic primary and like staying up on all that news. And so that's holy moly. Like there's a new bonkers turn every like 4 seconds. If you like, you can't like look away, you'll miss something about, you know, some unpredictable move that happens there. But even if you're not like paying attention closely to that, I'm sure you're still experiencing it in the air. It's all over social media.
Yep. Republican politics are rising to a fever pitch already to match.
So
there's that.
I mean, and then aside from politics, there's the whole coronavirus stuff happening. And, you know, like we went to the grocery store yesterday and we're like, how you guys doing? Like at the checks. And like, yesterday was like, they said that the day before yesterday was like lines, you know, lines at the check stands, like going down into the aisles, people just freaking out. Western Washington is one of the epicenters of the outbreak right now.
A lot of places are out of toilet paper right now.
Yeah. And so people are kind of, you know, just really reaching this fever pitch. I guess rightly so. You know, it's a scary.
And the markets are in free fall and everything's uncertain and no one knows what's going to happen.
Exactly.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
And so I think it's felt to both you and me, like centering the idea of keeping a hold on our sanity has felt really important. Like it's something I feel personally, at least, like I really need to like be mindful of.
Yeah. And like, it's not a time to be like, I can't, I have found that I can't coast. Like no. I have to play an active role in maintaining my emotional, psychological health.
Yeah.
And well-being, yeah. And you know, like
I, and keeping tabs on it and checking back in and making sure that everything is cool from moment to moment.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you can check on it one time and go a week.
Right.
A lot can happen in an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Like this constant process right now.
It really is.
So we made a couple little, we just made a little list, each of us, of stuff that's been helpful for us. So why don't we just dive in and start talking
that
about
stuff.
That
sounds great.
You want to go first?
Yeah. The first thing that came to my mind and that has been really helpful for me in this time is, it's been helpful to look for the joyful people.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are, you know, like it's mostly social media, right? That's where I see most other people engaging with the topics at hand, you know, and inevitably there are the people who are, you know, posting, you know, worrisome things, fearful things, you know, freaking out about this or that or the other thing. And then there are the people who might even be talking about the exact same things, but are doing it from a perspective of like positivity and joy and like, here are the possibilities.
Hopefulness.
And like, yeah. And I find that if I give my attention to those folks, I just feel better, you know? And it's not like they or I am ignoring the stuff going on. It's just that it helps me get through it. Yep. If I can do it with where I feel like I'm doing it, even virtually, with people who are pursuing this time with joy.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
So
the facts on the grounds don't change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like how we feel about them can change a whole lot depending what voices we're allowing into our diet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's
so
one of mine. What about you?
The first one I had on mine was I was talking with you about this morning, mm-hmm. That I'm really wrestling with my morning habits and my phone usage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what you and I do, because we don't have a fixed morning schedule and because we work late into the night, we tend to, and because we're kind of mostly working when we're awake, like, you know, like we wake up and we do our morning routine through breakfast, and like even starting at breakfast, we're like starting to be on email and stuff. And then we work kind of most of the rest of the day until late at night.
Yeah.
And so if you and I are going to have personal time, it's typically in bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we don't have a TV. So like, nope. It's not like we're spending a couple hours every night just decompressing and gorping out in front of the TV.
And we don't knock off at 10 p.m. but stay up until 1 doing 3 hours of personal time a day. You know, we tend to work until such time as we're like, hey, we're really tired, we should go to bed now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so then we wind down and we get in bed, and that's kind of our time to, you know, that's one of our two times, right?
Is
at bedtime to, you know, just read stuff that we're going to read and chat a little bit if we're going to chat, and, you know, we'll chat throughout the day too. And then, you know, in the morning, like, and that's been okay with me. I've been doing a really pretty good job over the last, like, basically since holiday season, of if I get in bed at night, reading my phone a little bit, but then putting it away and reading something printed on paper. And that's been really helpful for me. You know, I'm reading books, which is something I hadn't really done a whole lot of in like 2019, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I would have a book by the side of my bed at all times.
But
I wouldn't read it for 2 months at a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just get sucked into dialogue and discourse about things, you know,
yeah.
And everything's happening all the time. It's easy to do. But this has felt really like healthy, you know? It's the last thing I look at before I go to bed is now, you know, something that is not emitting light, but reflecting light. And there's a real difference in how your body processes that. And I feel like I've been sleeping more soundly since then, and it's been really good.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good.
But the mornings, you're
struggling with. The mornings, yeah. So in the mornings, what you and I tend to do is wake up and say hi to each other. And then, you know, pop open our phones and spend time there, you know? And the way the notification structures work tends to mean that we end up either on Twitter or on Facebook. And Jesus, both of those have just been really, really fraught lately.
Yeah, it's the been last really, couple days in particular.
Oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so super Tuesday, am I right? my gosh. But yeah, so, you know, especially today, I just realized, like, I woke up at a good time where if we'd gotten out of bed, like, we didn't sleep a full 9. It was more like 7.5, but I woke up feeling rested and good to go. And then 45 minutes later, I felt less rested and less good to go.
Aww.
And also, like, I had wasted 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was a real wake-up call for me. Today was the first time that I had really put my finger on this precise feeling and the cause of it. And,
right.
You know, and the sense that I'm doing several things wrong.
Uh-huh.
It was really interesting and informative for me, you know? Like, I've tackled the nighttime thing pretty successfully. Now I think my next challenge is really, like, figuring out what a healthy morning time ritual for me feels like vis-a-vis, you know, the amount of time spent in bed and momentum and how rested I feel and social media and my need to, like, if news has happened overnight, which it almost always does, or in the mornings, because we wake up more like 10 or 11 because we work late, you know, so news does happen before then. I want to be able to know what's going on, but I also don't want to, like, start diving into rabbit holes and ruin the good feeling and the sense of purpose and urgency that I woke up with.
Yeah.
Like, I had to claw my way back out of that this morning. Like, I woke up feeling great, and, like, I had a lot of, like, clear direction and purpose, and then I made myself feel much worse.
Yeah.
And then I had to really work hard just to get back up to the same place that I woke up at.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, I feel you. I had a different experience this morning, but I totally feel that. And I have had days like you're describing too. But it's great to identify, put your finger on what you think sort of went wrong, maybe what you could do differently.
Yeah. Yep.
And I support you.
And it's just good to, and it's good to think about, you know, just having it be a thing now that I'm consciously grappling with and thinking about, and not just some sort of ritual that I do unthinkingly is hugely helpful.
That's great.
You know, just naming it, the monster under the bed means that it's no longer quite as much of a monster.
Absolutely.
And will I do this perfectly tomorrow and every day after? Probably not. But that I'm thinking about it and that I am starting to have a meta awareness of how my own behaviors make me feel, I think that's helpful.
Yeah, totally.
All right, what else
you got? Okay, next on my list, there have been conversations online this week.
Yeah, people have been discussing some stuff on the internet. Yeah.
Particularly around, like, the political stuff. And, you know, one of the things that I've found really helpful for me is being able to, like, check in with, if I'm in a back and forth with somebody discussing some topic, let's say we don't agree or we see this particular issue from different perspectives. If I feel like it's getting to a place where it just allowing myself to identify when a back and forth like that isn't feeling productive to me anymore, you know, like acknowledging that and then allowing myself to permission to just exit gracefully.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't have to go dog chase its tail forever and ever and ever. Amen. With somebody who sees something differently than me. There is room in the world for us to have different perspectives about things. And I'm all here for having conversations that feel like they're productive. But if a conversation isn't feeling productive to me, and maybe, you know, I've expressed an interest in slowing down the conversation, or maybe, like, you know, and the person keeps coming at it, like, I don't have to keep coming at it because someone else wants to keep coming at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I've been using the tool of being like, hey, you know what? This doesn't, you know, you're passionate. So am I. It's clear we're both coming at this from different places, but I don't think we're having a productive conversation anymore. Can we just peacefully exit this and wish each other well? You know, like that's
and saying all of those things in a non-snarky way that doesn't, like, somehow, because you know how some people will, like, do the thing where they're performatively acting as though they're exiting a conversation gracefully, but actually they're just trying to get in the last word and be a dick and do one last do one last little barb.
No.
But then they say peace at the end of it, like somehow that makes everything cool.
I know. I mean,
and it's like not doing that is challenging.
Well, sure. But honestly, like I feel better about myself. Like my emotional health and my psychological health is better when I engage in those conversations in a way that I think stands up in terms of my kindness and my compassion.
Yeah.
So like it's more work for sure.
It's so much more work because you kind of have to do two people's worth of emotional labor, yours and someone else's.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons why I've decided that like at a certain point it is okay for me to just walk away and not continue the conversation because I'm not responsible to do that kind of work if someone else isn't showing up in the same kind of
that
way.
That whole thing. Here's a great question to ask yourself on the internet. What if I just walked on by without replying?
Seriously. Guess what freedom you have? You have the freedom to scroll on by. You don't have to say something.
It's one of your more important freedoms as an American citizen.
It really is. So that's been helpful for me.
Yeah, right on. So my next one is be kind with people, even those with whom I disagree, even if they're not being kind.
Just to piggyback on this last bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And boy, you know, and that last part of it is one of the hardest ones for me, right? Because theoretically, it's easy to give yourself a pass to kind of like drop the kindness mm-hmm. if someone else has dropped it, right? Mm-hmm. Like if someone else is being a dick, well, screw it, I'm going to be a dick too. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, pal.
Yeah.
You know? But fuck you, pal is not necessarily the best way to foster the healthy communication environment that I personally want to be more of a part of online.
Yes.
And B, to feel good about myself on the inside.
Totally.
Because after I've said that thing to that person, like they will take it on board or not, however they choose. But it lingers within me.
Oh, absolutely.
The fact that I acted in that way.
Absolutely. Not to mention, whatever you're saying, however you're saying things to people in life or on the internet, which is not really life, but yeah. However you say the things that you have to say reflects on the, like it makes it, what am I trying to say here? It is a representation of the thing that you're trying to advocate for.
Yeah, right.
And so if you come at it with meanness and with bullying or with, you know, like.
Yeah. If you're advocating for the
anger,
point you're trying to make by being a bully or by being angry or by being anxious or by being desperate.
It's not working.
What you're doing is you're attaching all of those feelings and emotions to the thing that you're advocating for.
Yeah, remember people, remember how you make them feel, not what you say.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
That really
is.
Yeah,
totally. Okay, next for me, one of the things that really helps me stay sane is to do concrete actions.
Uh-huh. So, by which you mean like literally pouring concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Shannon's working on a pony wall right now. She's done rebar.
I don't know how to do any of that actually yet. Do concrete actions. Like it's easy to get in a spiral of, you know, thought about this stuff, about worry, about like, you know, conversations online. But for me, it's been really helpful. Like the concrete action of showing up and doing door knocking this weekend was so helpful for
felt
my emotional and psychological state.
Felt cleansing.
Honestly, I felt so much better about things since then.
You know,
like in a really tangible way.
Yeah.
But also just doing my work, doing the work that I need to do. Like right now I'm reading an album. So like doing the concrete action of getting my butt into my studio and making, you know, recording tracks for a new song, working on lyrics, like doing that, those concrete actions just make me feel better, you know, cause I'm doing something actually productive. And it does a lot for my emotional state.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love that.
You?
And to co-sign on that, for me, it's working on music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the times I felt the happiest over the last week are the couple of days that I was working on that mix for my new friend Charles from Nashville.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
The ambient pedal steel record guy. I felt wholly at peace.
That's great.
And very centered and like I was doing something positive mm-hmm. for myself, mm-hmm. for somebody else, for the world, mm-hmm. all of those things. Mm-hmm. And that's just really, really important to remember.
Yeah. Next up for me, or do you
want
to do your next one?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So next up for me is, I've really been wrestling with this and it's kind of beating an old drum here because this is a concept that I think about a lot. I've talked about a lot on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new, but it's applying it in a new way to this particular week in this situation. Is that I have got to not try to predict outcomes because trying to predict outcomes is a form of trying to control outcomes.
Yes.
And I don't have control of outcomes. The only thing I have control of is the next thing that I can do, the next thing that I'm empowered to do in this moment, and that's it.
Yep.
So, like, I see a lot of people trying to, like, do guessing games, in particular with the political stuff.
Yeah.
Guessing games about like what's going to happen in 3 months from now and what's going to happen 6 months from now. And we got to, you know. And
trying to do like advanced strategy math.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. All you have the power to do is what's right in front of you right now.
Yeah.
Do the best thing you can do in this moment, the next right thing, and go on from there.
Unless you, dear listener, listening to this right now, are an election strategy expert.
Oh, right.
But you know what? You're not. You're not.
Right.
No one listening to our podcast is an election strategy expert.
Or you're an epidemiologist.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with the coronavirus.
That's it.
We want you to plan. Please do.
Please do. But otherwise, you're just an a-hole sitting on the couch like us. You know what I mean?
Totally.
That's it. And that's the sum total of experience that you bring to this discussion.
And if I am living in some made-up future, I am not effective in the present moment. So I've got to cut that crap out.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's something that I've been working really hard on this week is to just, you know, and yeah, just to divorce myself from the notion of trying to predict anything or trying to predict or control any outcome.
Yeah.
What is available to me right now to do?
Yeah.
That's what I will do.
Serenity prayer stuff, people.
That's right.
You know, can you or can you not control it?
Yes.
Right? The wisdom to know the difference and all that.
Yes.
The wisdom to know the difference part is the hardest part. Spoiler alert. yeah. Okay. So next thing on my list it's sort of related to my previous point, but it's encourage positive and responsible communication, even if I don't agree with the point being made.
Mm.
And this for me, like here's a very concrete example of how that might pan out. You know, like you and I have started several threads over the past few days, just, you know, lifting up things that we like about the person whom we're supporting, who is Elizabeth Warren, and we would encourage you to go vote for her.
because she'll make the best president.
We think she'll be the best person for the job, yeah. Right? But sometimes there are people who feel differently, right?
Yeah.
And they will say so on our threads, but they'll say so in sort of also a joyous, uplifting, the thing that they like kind of way. And they might, you know, some like you posted something a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday about, you know, go, you know, all you need to do in this time is vote for the person who you think will do the job best. So go vote for her, you know, which is cute.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of implying, because Liz is the only woman in the debate, that it's Liz. And someone down the thread implied equally cheerfully, for me, it's Bernie voting tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
And I put a heart on that, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I didn't do a passive aggressive like, because these days, like really just means acknowledge, right? If you're not hitting that heart thing on Facebook, you might as well just be giving someone the finger.
Gosh, the subtext of all this is just so wild, isn't it? It's modern complicated.
So, you know, I put a heart on that. Do I agree with this person? No, I do not. You know, do I wish from my selfish perspective as a supporter of Elizabeth Warren that he felt differently? Yes, I do. But do I love the positivity and cheerfulness and joy with which he lifted up the thing that he likes?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's so important, right? If we can talk about things in a not just civilized, but like civilized is the absolute bare minimum, right? If we can talk about things in a joyful way, then we're all going to have a much better time of it. And we're going to build a coalition even as we disagree.
Yeah, because here's the thing. The majority of people voting right now are not going to get the nominee they want.
No. No, that's just the math.
And even as the race has narrowed to just like, what, four people?
Yeah.
Still, the majority of people voting right now are not going to get the nominee that they voted for.
Yeah.
So here we have a choice. Mm-hmm. Do we speak joyfully about the candidates that we are supporting in a way that invites other people to join us later if our candidate happens to be the one that takes the prize?
Yeah.
You know, or do we come at it with like anger and hostility and totally turn off people from joining our coalition if our candidate is the one who ends up winning? And also allowing space in our own minds to join others. If we come at it with this anger or with hostility, we close off the possibility of joining others.
Yeah.
We make it harder for ourselves to do the job that we all are going to need to do later on this year when we have a nominee.
Absolutely.
You know what I
mean? This harkens back to something that you and I were talking about last week, the idea that I don't want to poison my own well for later on supporting a candidate who is not my candidate if my candidate doesn't win, you know?
Sure.
I want to be able, you know, in the fall, like I'm planning on it being Liz that I'm supporting, but if I'm not, I need to be able to, with boundless enthusiasm, from a genuine place, advocate as strongly as I can for whomever the nominee ends up being.
Yes.
So it's really important that I don't just harden myself inside and force myself into an ideological corner where if my person doesn't get it, I can't support anybody else because I have become ideologically rigid and I have painted myself in there.
Right.
That's it's absolutely not helpful.
Contributing to the brokenness of the system and our connections with each other. And it's not good or healthy. Yes, I feel you. So my last one, I have one more.
Yep, me
one
too.
One more. Something that I have been relearning and learning again this week is that I don't have to give my energy to things that don't lift me up.
Huh, weird.
Weird.
Imagine.
Yeah, like I have a choice.
Huh. Agency.
I have a
what
choice.
What a novel concept.
About what I give my energy to. And, you know, just because someone's trying to insert bad energy into my sphere in some way doesn't mean I have to take that on.
No.
I don't have to indulge that or entertain it.
No.
I can walk on by.
Yeah.
I have that choice. And it really feels empowering to remind myself of that truth.
Love it.
As I go.
Yeah. It's simple, and it sounds so simple when you say it. It's sometimes hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, the idea here is like that we're trying to recenter ideas of what things are healthy and work for us. That's one to really keep at the forefront of our consciousness.
Yeah. And what's your last one?
My last one, and it's one that you and I had talked about. So it's kind of a joint one, but I'll say it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's don't let a scarcity mindset take hold.
Mm.
Reject the idea of scarcity in all of its manifestations as we contemplate these very serious challenges in front of us, you know?
Yeah.
And you had some insightful stuff, some ideas around that. Do you want to speak on them? I mean, the biggest one really is the idea of just like, really, if you let joy lead the way, that's, I think, for me, where all the rest of this stuff stems from.
Absolutely. I think that when I am making decisions from a place of fear, I make bad decisions.
Yes.
When I'm, you know.
Or if you make a good decision, it's totally happenstance.
right.
You know what I mean?
But bad choices come from fear-based thinking.
Yeah.
By and large. And I think that we're seeing a lot of people throwing fear around.
Oh my gosh.
You know? And I understand why. Like, I get it. I totally get it. And it's not unreasonable to be fearful.
Anxious.
But we have choices about how we proceed from that feeling, right?
There's something people say in AA, which is, I'm not responsible for the first thought, but I am responsible for the second thought.
Right.
In AA, it's like, of course I'm going to have the idea every so often. I should have a drink. I don't really much these days, but I used to, you know?
Yeah.
The first thought, that's a freebie. The second thought is what you do with that.
Yeah.
And that's what you're responsible for.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about.
It's what I'm talking about. Like, it's not unreasonable to be afraid of some of the stuff happening in the world right now. Absolutely, 100%.
Indeed, pretty rational.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, what are you thinking if you're not a little bit, like, concerned?
Yeah.
But the second thing, yeah, what do you do with that? I think if you remain in the place of fear, that's where bad decisions come into play for
Absolutely.
Me. And so, yeah, I think, you know, last year on the record we made, I wrote a lot about the idea of scarcity and living from a place of scarcity. And I think that when I'm living from a scarcity mindset, I am closing myself off to all kinds of possibilities.
Yes.
I deny myself the opportunity to see possibilities if I'm consumed with fear.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I want to choose an abundant, joyful path.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mindset that I want to have. I want to find the things that I feel like are deserving of being uplifted in the world and joyfully uplift them.
Yeah.
And so that's helpful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Word.
Good. So do that. Do that, everyone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and do that. Like, we're some kind of advice columnist or something, but like this is just stuff that's been, like, we've been really wrestling with this stuff this week. Like, we've had, both of us, like, emotional ups and down roller coaster kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's not like we're perfect at these things. These are just tools that this particular week have come in handy for us. And we've been having to really focus on actively putting them into use.
And refocusing and refocusing and refocusing. Because
all
the
time.
Because I'll do good for like half a day and then I'll forget. And then I'll have to like bring my focus back around again, you know?
Yep.
It's like a meditative practice in a way, you know? It's like, oh, I'm doing really good. I'm not thinking about anything. Shit, that's thinking. Okay, well.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
I'm not a person who like works out, but like you don't get in shape by going to the gym one time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's something you come back to. Yeah. So funny coming from a person who doesn't actually work out. But
you know what you need to do, and that's half the battle, am I right?
It was a metaphor.
Right.
You know, anyway. Yeah. So, well, you all, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for being witness to the roller coaster that we've been on this week.
And we would love to hear your thoughts and ideas about what's working for you in this time.
Totally.
For your own mental wellness, like what your routines and practices are around that. I'm sure you've got some stuff that we haven't thought of that would be helpful to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, Misfit Star supporting members, please go post in the private group. And if you're not a Misfit Star supporting member, I mean, please just engage with us around this. We would love it. but also please consider becoming a supporting member. If you've listened this far, you're hopefully getting some value out of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And if you would like to encourage us in the world in a small financial way, we could really use the help and we would love that. And just go to misfitstars.com/join, or if you're already a supporting member but want to increase your level of support and get more goodies, swag, t-shirt, coffee mug, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not about the goodies, but they are fun. Mm-hmm. Then go to misfitstars.com/level up for that. But yeah, we would appreciate it. Non-supporting members who are thinking about becoming supporting members, you know, great time to do it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate giving us your time today.
Yeah, it's real cool.
And we'll be back again next week for another episode of The Roller Coaster. And
right?
See where we are then. But you know what? Until then, take care of yourselves.
Yeah, really do. I mean, this episode is explicitly about the idea of taking good care of yourselves. So please do that.
Yeah.
We encourage you to really like center your own mental wellness in this time. You'll be of better service to other people. You'll show up better in your own life. It'll all be much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then I'm talking to myself here as much as anyone else.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, y'all. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.